I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
And here we are, NFL trade deadline at 2024. What a power move by the NFL. You got to give them credit. The National Football League made a decision. They said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to see how powerful we really are. We're going to put the NFL trade deadline on the day of the presidential election. And Sean Morash brought up a very good point earlier today that I didn't even realize. In fact, why don't you make the point about the benefit of the NFL trade deadline during the presidential election?
Yeah, so I've seen a lot of people mocking the idea that the NFL did this, and I look at it the other way. Of all the piggish things the NFL does to basically take over moments, I thank the NFL for today. I love the NFL for today because what the NFL did today was, at the very least, at moments, break up the monotony that is the cesspool of social media today.
Good point.
Because for every two election tweets where people start arguing, there's two tweets about whether Adam Thielen was getting traded or not.
Right.
And I loved it, to be honest with you.
So I think the big one was the Lions acquired Za'Darius Smith from the Cleveland Browns, and that's a big move for them. The other big move was the Washington Commanders acquiring Marshon Lattimore from the New Orleans Saints, and they did so for a third-round pick. Locally, the New York Jets made one trade. They traded Mike Williams to the Pittsburgh Steelers for a fifth-round pick. And unlike Sean, and unlike maybe some in our audience, while I don't mind draft picks, like draft picks are cool, got nothing against it, I don't hug them. I don't make out with them. I don't love them. Like, they're nice. Sure, if you're a rebuilding team, well, why not? Get some more draft picks. Got no problem with that. But when you're the New York Jets, and Alan Lazard is injured, and he's out for a few weeks, and you've got options at wide receiver once you get past your top guys that include the likes of Xavier Gibson and Malachi Corley, who decided to drop a freaking football before he got in the end zone, to me, it doesn't make a lot of sense to dump Mike Williams. Like, I get Aaron Rodgers doesn't love him. I get that the chemistry hadn't fully developed. But the New York Jets are trying to win. They have no other choice. It's not like they're selling guys off. They're not the Saints selling off Marshon Lattimore. The Jets are trying to win. So if you're trying to win, which the Jets are still trying to do, I do not see the purpose of dumping Mike Williams for a fifth-round pick. Now, the inflection in my voice may make it sound like I'm angry or I'm yelling or whatever. I'm not even angry. I'm more like disappointed. I'm more like, what? Like, why? Like, I don't think this is going to make or break the Jets. It just annoys me that a team that's still trying to win would dump a useful player for a freaking fifth round pick.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense, especially because he's good and he fits in with what they're trying to do. And so I guess they're trying to clear... I don't know, targets? It doesn't make any sense.
They don't have to clear targets, though, Teak. Like, okay, so Mike Williams may have a game where he gets targeted twice. No big deal. If he doesn't like it, too bad. You're a free agent at the end of the year. Like,
I agree.
Was he a problem in the locker room?
I don't think so. I just think he was, like, are they really going to, do they need him, I guess is the real question.
Are they better without him?
No.
Okay,
because
so then.
Because if someone gets hurt.
Yeah.
Then they're stuck. If Davante Adams goes down or Garrett Wilson gets a nick or whatever the situation may be. Your depth is now compromised a little bit. So I guess because of where they sit at 3-6, you just start to make decisions based on, I don't know, conflicting directions, right? Like, so if they lose another game or two games, like, could you have done anything with Mike Williams at the deadline and maybe you would have made next year a little bit better? Yeah. And so they're stuck between, are we really still running after this thing or are we prepping for next year and hope we get lucky?
But I sort of disagree with that because if they were in that position of, we're not really in it, let's sell guys off on one-year deals, then why wouldn't you sell off Tyron Smith? Why wouldn't you go to a team that's desperate for offensive line help and say...
Because he still helps you win.
But Mike Williams could help you win.
I know, but really, do you need three good wide receivers? I mean, two of them who are really great.
Okay, but look at the depth after that. We're talking about Xavier Gibson and Malachi Corley, who put the football on the ground on purpose when he was scoring a touchdown.
Yeah, but don't you can't judge his season or even future career based on a stupid mistake on a second touch of his career.
You're right, but do you think next week or this Sunday against the Arizona Cardinals, do you think Mike Williams being on the field would probably help the Jets a little bit more than Malachi Corley? Just now, just this week. Not even the whole season, just the next week.
I don't know. I don't know who they're going to bring up from the practice squad because they have five wide receivers up right now.
Right, so. But the targets, forget, because you're right about that, but the targets are going to now go to Corley and Gibson. And while they're nice young players, I just don't think the juice is worth the squeeze. You got back a fifth-round pick. Like, it's not worth it to me. So I'm not angry. Like, maybe it sounds like I am. I'm not. It's just more like, what are we doing? Like, you're still trying to win. Doesn't make any sense to me. And a fifth-round pick doesn't move me. And I'll tell you the other thing. It's small, Teague, but I have to bring it up. You also traded him to a team that, while you're probably not going to catch, they're in your own conference. Like, if you're trying to make the playoffs, if you're trying to pull off some kind of miracle run, the Pittsburgh Steelers may be in your way. So, why? Like, if you send them to the NFC, it's like, all right, out of sight, out of mind. If I see you in the Super Bowl, great. But that's the other thing. And it's small. I admit, it's a minor thing, but it's more of an annoyance about this trade deadline. I didn't want the Jets to buy anybody, but I really didn't love the idea of selling anybody that can be useful for your team.
Yeah.
And I still think Mike Williams could be useful.
I mean, of course he can, but at some point, Alan Lazard is going to be eligible to come back from IR. I don't know how many more weeks, one or two weeks left before he comes back from IR. And when's the bye week? The bye week is after...
After Germany. After this upcoming week.
Lazard's not due to back to week 14 versus the Dolphins or eligible.
All right. So, I mean, they just felt like they don't need him.
Yeah.
I mean, what's his target number this year? It's probably not a ton.
No, it's not.
Especially not after Garrett Wilson started to elevate and Devontae Adams this year. He just becomes an expendable player.
I think we're overthinking this. It really isn't a matter of whether they wanted him or needed him. Clearly, Rodgers just didn't match up with him chemistry-wise, and Rodgers wanted him out of here.
I think it really is
as simple as that. You got good value on it. You got to turn it into a fifth-round pick.
Do you think, like, there's a difference between I don't really care and get this guy off my team? I don't get the vibe that Aaron Rodgers went into Joe Douglas' office and said, get him off my team.
I don't think it was get him off my team. I think it was more like, I don't really care.
Yeah. Well, I care. I'll tell you that. Aaron Rodgers may not care. But maybe part of the problem is I care more than Aaron Rodgers. Maybe that's part of the issue. Maybe we as Jet fans care just a slight little bit more than Aaron Rodgers. Tell me I'm wrong, Positive Tommy.
So, any great leader, they have people that work underneath them. Positive Tommy is focused on knocking off the undefeated Chiefs in the playoffs. I will allow my positivity posse to deal with things like bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches and Mike Williams and all that. So, that's fine. This is a small fish.
I'm a big fish.
It doesn't matter to you?
Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm thinking big picture. I'm thinking about the guys that are here. I'll allow my positivity posse to worry about things like Mike Williams going to Pittsburgh and catching one more pass.
So, right. Mike Williams has 12 touches. Receptions this year. He's been here for 9 games. Devontae Adams has 14. He's been here for 3.
He's not Devontae Adams. I'm just saying he's not
getting the targets.
I get that.
He's averaging 2.5 a game.
But merely what I'm telling you is the Jets, and it's very similar for you, Positive Tommy, this is the Mets all over again. This is June for the Mets season. They're in the playoffs now. They have to basically go on a run, right? Now, that may have been the Mets' undoing, right? They were playing playoff games since June. They ran out of gas once they got to late October. The Jets are in their playoffs right now. Every game's important. This Sunday against the Arizona Cardinals is a must-win game. They need to win that game. I'm just telling you, I feel...
They need to win every game.
Yes, but one at a time, right?
Yes, of course.
Of course. I just feel in the short term, despite Mike Williams being an overall disappointment, despite the numbers you point out, I still have a better chance of him converting on a 3rd and 12 than Malachi Corley or Xavier Gibson.
Yeah, but
that's all I'm saying.
Malachi scored a touchdown last week.
Stop it. It was a rushing touchdown, and he dropped the ball before he got
from
to the goal line.
From my vantage point, he crossed the goal line. So he's already... And what was he on the field for, like 4 or 5 snaps? So they're obviously getting him more into the offense. He's going to be a bigger piece, I think, going forward. I think they felt like Corley was more of a higher ceiling. Williams was kind of just like, whatever.
All right.
Yeah, Malachi's got a higher ceiling.
Just a guy.
Just a guy. What do they call those guys again?
Jags.
Now, let me get to your team. The New York Giants have officially done nothing. All right, we are past the NFL trade deadline. Can we confirm that, Sean? They've done nothing?
Yeah, yeah, and there is a new Diana Russini tweet about this that may rub Giant fans the wrong way.
Giant fans, get ready to be rubbed the wrong way.
Several teams showed interest in Giants linebacker Azeez Ojulari. Joe Shane's asking price was high, giving New York's banged-up front. Ultimately, teams chose not to pay the asking price.
You have a problem with that?
Why is that going to rub Giant fans the wrong way?
All right. By the way, before he answers, you know why?
Why?
Because he's a tanker.
Listen to his answer. It has nothing to do with tanking. I know that this is going to bother Tiki because we're revisiting this. We just watched Saquon Barkley not get traded last year. And
Come on. Azeez Ojulari, with all due respect to Azeez Ojulari, is not Saquon Barkley.
So maybe you'll agree with this then. The reason they didn't trade Saquon, and you made a big point about culture and locker room and that kind of guy, yes, right? Look, when you go back and you watch all the film we were blessed with on this silly Hard Knocks show, Joe Shane, there was a little quote there when they didn't get the corner they wanted in the second round. He said the price of trading up on top of our second round pick would have been something like a fourth round pick or a fifth round pick. You know, ultimately, we didn't have enough capital to do that. I'm paraphrasing the quote. If Azeez Ojulari would have fetched to a sixth-round pick...
Oh, stop. You're creating,
but Tiki, what are you talking about? If he walks for nothing and you're a dead team, what are we talking about here?
You're talking so into the weeds.
But that doesn't really matter. It does matter.
No, it doesn't, Sean, because if you want to trade a sixth-round pick and you don't have one, take it from the next year. Make it a fourth-round pick from the next year.
But what is letting a guy walk for nothing?
If you're that desperate to go get Kool-Aid McKinstry or wherever the hell the next Kool-Aid McKinstry is, yeah, who actually isn't that good, even that great. It's a good thing they didn't draft him this past season. You take a pick from the next year and you maybe move it up to the fourth round or a third rounder and give it up if you really need that Kool-Aid McKinstry pick. You're making this so much of a big deal, it's frustrating. Because getting an extra sixth round pick for Azeez Ojulari, who you need right now in order to...
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Win games, it's bad calculus. It's bad team like processing. It doesn't make any sense to me, because if you need an extra pick, you take it from the following year. It's just as simple as that.
All right, that's fun, and I do think you can find a way to do it. My point is, we now saw what happened with McKinney and Barkley, better players. I'm tired of the team being 2-7, 2-8, 2-9, dead in the water, and letting guys walk with getting nothing in return just so we could win three games in December. I find that useless. I find it to be a useless process for this team. And it's one thing to say it's good to keep Saquon Barkley for culture. You can't tell me Azeez Ojulari is a big culture guy here. He's going to leave for nothing in the offseason, and you got nothing in return.
Do we know that for sure, though?
If he stays, I would take him back as an extra pass rusher. All I'm asking
is Azeez Ojulari is 26?
27.
No, he's actually younger. He's 25.
What, 25?
Yes, they drafted him very young.
Oh, that's right. He was young. We talked about these yesterday.
Yeah, so injury history, though, which has hurt him.
Fine. You have a 25-year-old guy who has six sacks this season.
Oft injured
is fine. This season, he's healthy. He's having a very good season, mm-hmm, right? And it's actually, I know they're 2-7, but it's been helpful considering Kayvon Thibodeau has been out. Is it not possible that Joe Shane keeps the 26-year-old pass rusher when he's a free agent coming off an 11-sack season?
I hope he does.
Am I crazy to suggest
that? I'm interested in the contract he gets, because I think you should have depth at the pass rush. But here would be my argument back. You just spent a boatload of capital and money on Brian Burns. You're going to have a contract coming up for Kayvon Thibodeau. The team has a million holes all over the rest of the roster. Are you signing Azeez Ojulari as an extra pass rusher when he might get a better deal elsewhere? If you are, then fine. That's why you held him back. You're going to sign.
What's your fear? That you're going to lose a good player?
My fear is...
That you're going to have a Bryce Huff? By the way, can't even see the field in Philadelphia.
But if Azeez Ojulari can't see the field on another team, that's not my problem.
I'm just telling you, you are what you've put on tape.
Yeah.
You are what your team thinks you are. Unfortunately for Bryce Huff, He's exactly what the Jets thought he was. And now he's in Philadelphia on a new deal, and he didn't play. He doesn't play.
But by the way, I agree. If he becomes Bryce Huff, that's better for the Giants. My point is, I'm just tired in lost seasons of letting guys just leave in free agency and getting nothing in return. When you have an opportunity to get something in return. Now, you could, you know, we could thumb our nose, say it's nothing to have that and, you know, pick it up for the next draft. And I agree with you, but it's something. I'm tired of losing guys for nothing when the season is lost.
This is all about the fact, Tiki, he wants to tank.
That's it really isn't. It really
it
isn't.
It is, though. Yeah. Because you even said it. You said it like a little niblet of it, but you're almost afraid because you know Tiki's going to crush you.
No.
So you're afraid. So I'm going to do it for you because you're a little afraid. That's okay. He said, I don't know about winning three more games. Sean Morash, and he's not alone, is one of those Giant fans that would prefer to lose every game the rest of the season. And Ojulari, Aziz Ojulari, gives them a better chance at winning games. Evan. So your frustration is not the fifth-round pick. Because Tiki's right about that. You're getting so little back. It's why I didn't like the Mike Williams trade. Because what are we doing with a fifth-round pick?
After the bye week, they're getting Kayvon Thibodeau back, and Aziz Ojulari's snap count is going to plummet.
You think so?
Yes.
Even with the way he's playing?
Yes, it will. Because
I don't think so. I think he's going to, you have to keep him, you have to put him on the field.
I think so.
I'm not saying he's not going to play, but he's not going to play the snaps he's playing now. There's not the same room for it when you have Kayvon and Brian Burns.
Okay. So the Giants did nothing. You're upset about this.
I'm not upset. I'm just
clarifying. I want to know if you're upset or not.
Year after year, it's bad practice and lost years to let guys walk out the door for nothing. I think that's just my base.
All right. There you go. So the Giants have done nothing. Darius Slayton is still on this team. I don't think they were getting a lot for these guys anyway. Like, this is very different than Leonard Williams from a couple years
ago.
Or even Saquon Barkley, which I know we disagreed about, because those returns were going to be really good, in my opinion. Yeah. This was, you know, fifth round pick. Are we serious?
And you don't know when Kayvon comes back how healthy he actually is and how much he's going to play. What if I told you by December, mid-December, the Giants are 6-7?
He'd be all in.
You'd say, I'm glad we hung on to Kayvon Thibodeau. Because trust me, that's a possibility. Beat Carolina, bye week, you beat Tampa, you beat the Cowboys without Dak Prescott, you beat the Saints who are just waffling right now. I mean, they lost 7 games in a row. All of a sudden, you're 6-7. Mm. And so I know you can't see that because you're trying to look at the entirety of the season in the beginning of November. But the reality is, by December 15th, the Giants could be a game out under 500. And if you don't look at it that way, you're not looking at it from the perspective of a team. I mean, their team. This is how Dave's is looking at it. This is how Shane is looking at it. This is likely how the players are looking at it. Now, if they mess around and they lose to Tampa, they lose to Carolina, and they're 2-9, you know what? Good luck, everybody. I'm no longer supporting you. But right now, there's an opportunity for this team to continue to build something. Offensively, they get a little better every week. They're not good enough to win yet. They get a little better every week. It's not Daniel Jones's, like, I don't know, saving grace that they're getting improving, but he's playing a little better every week. It's not enough, but they're playing a little better every week. The last thing you need to do is say, all right, get everybody out of here. Let's just lose the rest of these games and put ourselves in position to draft whoever we want to draft. I just can't buy that. I know that it's good fan talk, but I can't look at it from a fan's standpoint. I never have, and I never will be able to.
I understand that. And as a fan, I would love nothing more than 6-7, and I'll root for them to go that way. I just think also part of your job as the general manager is to also be honest and real. And if they were basically taking any phone calls on Ojulari, like that, this is what it says, right? Like the price wasn't met what they wanted. Why would you take any if you believe that you had a chance?
Because somebody's going to give you a third-round pick for Aziz Ojulari. You take it.
So then it's not about winning.
Because he's not a third-round talent.
He's talking about what you would get back.
That's what I mean.
If it's a third-round pick, it's different. It wasn't a third. And by the way, that's the report Diana has, that they were asking for a lot. He wasn't willing to trade him for a fifth-round pick. You want to know why? Because like I said about Mike Williams, fifth-round picks are useless. Useless may be too strong, but it's not something worth moving a piece for.
Well, it is if you're
acquiring a player.
Especially if that player is helping you win.
Right.
Or at least helping you play better defensively.
See, here is the inherent issue. I want to get back to something you said. As much as I don't think it's going to happen, you laid out a scenario where the New York Giants beat the Carolina Panthers in Germany. They're favored to do it, okay? They come out of the bye, and they beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. May not happen, but it could happen. The problem is, Sean is in this weird, tricky spot where he wouldn't be excited.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, he knows, well, they still play Atlanta, and they still play Baltimore, and they still play Philadelphia, and they're not making the playoffs. And so the best case scenario is they go 6-11 or 7-10, and he doesn't get the top pick. He has prioritized draft picks over anything else. And there are a lot of fans like that. Dude, I'm arguing with Net fans about this right now. They're upset that the Nets are winning. And I'm like, what's wrong with you?
4-4. 4-4,
I mean. I like winning. I'm sorry. Maybe it's because I don't win a lot. Maybe it's because I'm a loser. I like winning. I'm not a tanker. He's a tanker. You're a tankist, bro.
I don't want, first of all, I hate that the NFL even has us as fans divided like this because it shouldn't be a freaking draft lottery like the other leagues.
Tankist.
Right. To be honest. And number two, man, you just saw what the Commanders did today, right? They traded for Marshawn Lattimore, young corner, everything.
That's because they're 7-2 and one of the best teams in the NFC.
And why are they 7-2? Because they were worse than the Giants and hit on Jaden Daniels last year. And they had a. You don't think the Commanders have a bunch of roster flaws that the Giants have? They hit on the quarterback and changed everything in a year.
You're delusional, bro.
Why? They really were terrible last year, and they had a Jaden Daniels and a damn good head coach.
Sean, do you really think the only difference between the New York Giants and the Washington Commanders is simply the quarterback?
Not the only difference, but you don't think that's the biggest swing in what happened to that team?
Of course it helps out a lot.
Okay, so who are you drafting again?
I personally think Cam Ward could be really good.
Tell me specifically why.
I like his big body. I like his mobility in the pocket. I like his down the field throwing.
How many starts has he had in college?
He's actually started 3 years. Washington State for 2, Miami for this year.
How good was he?
Better now with Miami than he was with Washington State. So he's gotten better over 3 years. He's allowed to keep improving.
Yeah.
By the way, I've been wrong a ton on quarterbacks in college,
most people are.
Right. But I know one thing in the NFL. Unless you hit on the quarterback, you're not going to be any good.
When we come back, this argument will continue, or maybe we'll get to your calls. All I know is my 8-year-old's really got to go to the bathroom, so we'll take care of that, and we'll get back to your calls at 888-808-1019. That's the toll-free telephone number. Plus, I've got some IBO thoughts, early IBO thoughts, on the New York Knicks that you may like or you may get angry at. That's up to you.
Welcome back. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. Evan's not in studio. So that's when you bring your kid to work day. Bring your kid to work on voting day. My kids had school today.
I'm so jealous. No, my kids didn't. And I think we figured out why, Tiki.
Why? Because your school was a polling place.
Yes. So the schools in New York State are where you vote. You guys are voting in libraries. The kids can go to school.
Yeah, I think because I used to live in New York State. I lived in Westchester. And I think I voted at a school. It was right across the street. Yeah, I voted at a school. But I vote in a library. So my kids went to school today, even though it was only half a day. Then they had dentist appointments. So it wasn't even a half a day. It was barely a day for my kids. Go to school for 2 hours so mom and dad can vote. And then they go get picked up early and go to the dentist appointment. I mean, we were talking about the Giants before we went to break and what they should do or why they didn't do anything at the trade deadline and move any of their players. There really wasn't anybody else, though, that the Giants could have or should have moved. The one maybe that would have been interesting would have been Nick McLeod because he's a starter, Nick McLeod was. But instead of trying to trade him, maybe there was no interest. Like, if you're going to get a 6th or 7th rounder for a guy who has started some games, maybe is going to be more important for other teams as a specialist, maybe you tried to trade him. But the Giants really didn't have anybody that they could trade. Other than Azeez Ojulari. He was the only one on the roster that made any sense to trade.
What about Devin Singletary? Could have traded him.
Yeah, but I think Tyrone Tracy's a young player. He's only been a running back fully for a year.
Yeah, but look how good he looks already.
I know that, but what if he gets hurt? Yeah. And so now you're...
Eric Gray!
And he's probably actually good in the room with a young running back.
I think he's great in the room with it. So I can't think of anybody else that they should have... maybe thought about.
The other guy that was rumored places and you saw at a position that was traded everywhere was Darius Slayton.
Yes.
Okay, so he didn't get moved. And I would actually say there's a higher probability the Giants are re-signing him as opposed to Azeez Ojulari. So I have less of an issue with that if he's back as the second.
But you know what the other problem is? Like, my anger with trading Mike Williams, besides the fact that, yes, the Jets are still trying to win, is that sometimes the return you get back is
not
so
worth it.
Little.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
Why am I doing this? It's like selling your sports tickets for 35 cents. At some point, you're like, can I just donate it or something? Like, I'm not selling it for 35 cents.
The Jets didn't have... Who else did the Jets potentially have? as well.
To sell off?
To sell off.
I don't want to sell off, though. That's the problem. Like, I think there are Giant fans who are like, look, we're 2-7, despite the optimistic layout you have over the next 3 weeks.
All right.
They just think they stink, and they're like, let's sell everybody off. I'm at the point in the Jets season where I'm not confident they're going to make this grandiose playoff comeback, but you still want to give yourself that chance.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to sell anybody off for that reason.
Yeah. I mean, for the Jets, it makes more sense. Mike Williams, again, I'm not gonna go to like scream and yell that he should have stayed, because I just don't think he was going to get the targets to be worthwhile. And also, Alan Lazard will be back in a couple of weeks, and so he really becomes expendable once Alan Lazard comes back. So it I can't scream and yell for Mike Williams. The Jets are also in that odd spot where they're starting to get good, but is it too late? But you look at the standings in the AFC, and you almost say, why not?
Dude, they're only two games
back.
That's
right. You say, why not? They're 3-6, and it sounds ugly. It has looked bad. But then you go look at the possibilities, and it's all right there. Not to be Aaron Boone, but it's all in front of
them.
They
have to go 7-1.
Yes.
That's the reality now. And the one loss can't be to the wrong team.
But the thing is, they could.
They could. No, I get you. Look, we've seen this before with Aaron Rodgers teams in the past. They get off to a slow start.
Yep.
They finish strong. The likeliest outcome, if we're all going to have an honest conversation, is that the Jets will tease us. They'll suck us in. Mm. And then they will lose just enough to kick us in the you-know-what.
Right, but if they, like the Giants, over the next two, get a game under 500 and then have a bye week.
Yeah.
And then go play a flawed Seattle team, or at least, no, the flawed Seattle team comes here,
mm-hmm.
right? Then they have the Dolphins.
Yep.
And then Jacksonville, who by that point could be completely out of it.
And then the Rams, who are a flawed team.
Right, so they're winnable games throughout down the stretch.
I know.
And so it's why when we had this conversation 2 days ago, I thought neither team would do anything.
Yeah.
Because they're not that the Giants are in it at all, but they still need to try to win. You can't not say, we're just going to punt.
No.
There's too much at stake.
That's the difference that you have. And by the way, I'm with you because mm-hmm. I'm in the weird position with my basketball team where that's the position you are versus the tankists out there.
Right.
And there's a lot of tankists.
Yep.
They just want to lose games. They want the top pick.
But I also don't trust tanking.
No, I know.
You know what I mean?
It's like, a flawed strategy.
We're going to tank to get whoever, and the kid turns out not to be any good.
Well, look, I'll give you the greatest example. And Sean has used this to mock me. And let's look at it all these years later. Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
All we heard about was how could the Jets win that meaningless game against Sean McVay's Rams?
Yeah.
Now they're not ending up with Trevor Lawrence. Well, let's go into that alternate universe. Alternate universe, everybody. The Jets go 0 for the season. And they end up with Trevor Lawrence, and they bring him to New York. How do you think that plays out?
Probably about as it's playing out in Jacksonville.
Probably worse.
Right.
Probably worse.
No, you're probably right. Even though the situation he started in was maybe the worst.
Urban Meyer.
The Urban Meyer situation is maybe the worst
right,
in the history of a rookie quarterback.
But now he ended up with a Super Bowl winning coach, and it's still not working.
Yeah.
So I'll agree that the start with the Jets may not have been as bumpy, but it wouldn't have worked.
No, you're
and
probably
yet,
right.
We were lectured, can you believe the Jets won those meaningless games? Now, granted, Zach Wilson sucks. We all know that. But really, Trevor Lawrence was supposed to be the truth.
But either way, you had a first-round pick, and you took a quarterback. And no matter where you would have went, it was probably
going to
be bad.
It was going to be wrong. How do you defend that?
I'm just saying. What do you mean? You might miss, but you might hit. We've seen two teams the last 2 years hit on freaking quarterbacks to change the team. So you want to look at the glass half empty? Fine. I get it. They could hit and miss on the quarterback
but
big time.
But that's what I mean, Sean. It's like you really don't know.
You don't know.
You don't know.
But the way, unfortunately, the NFL has transitioned now, it's harder to sit back and hope you get a quarterback at 8, 9, 10 because everybody pigs over themselves and gets up to the top 3 or 4.
Right, which is why next year you got to believe that the Raiders, the Tennessee Titans, trying to think who else is
Carolina.
I mean, it depends. Let's see what Bryce Young does.
Right.
He won a game that nobody thought he was going to win. He actually didn't look horrible. If he goes into Germany and beats the Giants and he looks really good, maybe they can salvage who Bryce Young is. But there's going to be at least three teams that are running as fast as they can to get to the top of the draft.
Absolutely.
before we get to your calls on the trade deadline, some national NBA news that might be of interest to you gentlemen. The NBA has suspended Joel Embiid for 3 games for the altercation of shoving the columnist in the post-game locker room.
Oh, come on!
3 games that he wasn't going to play anyway.
Well, that's a good point. I thought you were going to say the NBA is like fining the Sixers and Joel Embiid for not playing, but... Yeah, the shove. We talked about the shove yesterday, if you missed it. Basically, there's a reporter in Philadelphia. His name is Marcus Hayes, and he went below the belt when writing a critical article of Joel Embiid and invoked Joel's dead brother and his son as, like, I don't know, an explanation or a guilt of Joel Embiid not playing basketball.
You're not going to be a good example because you don't show up for your brother, your son who you named after your dead brother.
Right. Think about how screwed up that is.
That's just really jacked up.
And Teague even said yesterday he probably would have decked the guy in the face. So Joel pushed him, and the NBA is suspending him for games that he wouldn't play anyway.
Interesting.
I'm waiting for the glass to break on another national NBA story, one that I can't wait to see play out.
Which is?
The Milwaukee Bucks throwing in the flag and trading a Giannis Antetokounmpo to, not my team, to somewhere else. But that'll be the next great NBA story. More on that a little bit later on, but let's get to your calls. 888- 808-1019. Artie in Brooklyn. What's up, Artie?
You are so killing me, dude. You're complaining about trading a guy that stunk it up, that I'd rather have the 14 Cornwell, whatever, Lazard, any of those guys. And that we can't get a kicker. Why didn't he go out and get a kicker? That's number one. And right now, I trade number 1, 2, and 3 picks for Blake Lawrence. You're dogging Lawrence as a quarterback?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with me? If we would have... Listen to what I'm saying, okay?
Yeah.
If the Jets would have gone 0 for the season that year back in 2021, or 2020 actually,
right.
was the season.
Yeah.
And they ended up with Trevor Lawrence, what do you think you would be saying right now on Sports Talk Radio about Trevor Lawrence?
About Lawrence, or I'd be saying about the Jets?
No, about Lawrence
because
and
what
the
I would
Jets.
Say is
what do you think you would have said about them? You think it would have worked, bro? You think he's great? You think he's the answer?
I would have said the same nonsense you guys were saying about Darnold and Sanders. You got to build around them. Lawrence has more talent than any of those guys that you have been doing. You were talking about. Who would you rather have right now, Darnold or Lawrence?
That's not the point, though. You're right.
I'm asking you a question.
Trevor Lawrence. I'm going to play your game. Trevor Lawrence over Sam Darnold. Trevor Lawrence over Geno Smith. Trevor Lawrence over Zach Wilson. We still would have been disappointed in him. You guys acted like tanking was the answer to finding out Dan Marino. He's 15 games under 500. He's not Dan Marino. And while he may be better than the crap we watched the last 3 years, trust me, Artie, you wouldn't be thrilled with him.
How many teams would take him over their quarterback?
That's not the point, though. Like, yes, he's not out of the league.
Yeah.
If that's what the bar you want to set, fine. The point is, tanking isn't the magic elixir. Trevor Lawrence would have been better than, some of the other options the Jets have had at quarterback. Yep. But my point is, that wouldn't have been the fix-it quarterback we've been dreaming about. Do you get my point, Deke?
You needed to have the right situation around him. And the Jets at the time, they didn't. So maybe Trevor would have grown a little faster or better than, say, Zach Wilson would have, but you just don't know. I mean, the jury is still out, even though he's been paid already. I think the jury is still out on Trevor Lawrence.
But it may be a little bit, but here's where the jury's not out. I get he got into this league in the worst situation imaginable.
Right.
Right now, he's not in the worst situation imaginable. He has Travis Etienne. Mm-hmm. He had Evan Ingram. He had Calvin Ridley. Yep. Like, he's had weapons the last couple of years. And while he's not a bust per se,
no,
he's not what you thought he was.
Right. He's already had
my point.
He's already on a second contract, and he's making, what, $50-something million a year?
Great.
But I don't know if he's earned that.
I also don't.
He's earned it because he has it, but he hasn't played like one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL.
Well, we also have to readjust our bar. Sean is talking about tanking because that's the elixir. It feels like the Commanders have that right now with Jaden Daniels.
But I mean...
Would Trevor Lawrence have been the magic elixir for the New York Jets? That's my question.
Did they tank?
Who?
The Commanders.
Not really.
Exactly. They were trying to win.
Tanking's the wrong word.
They just sucked.
That's my point.
Right. They didn't tank. They just sucked.
I need to reiterate this.
It's two different things.
Yes.
It's not, when I say tank, I don't mean the team gets together and purposely tries to lose.
They did lose their last eight games of the year. So.
I know, but I don't think they were trying to.
It's not no, like I don't think they were.
When
either.
I say tank, it just means.
Their offensive line was so bad. I mean, how many sacks did, what was his name? I can't remember his name now. The quarterback from Carolina?
Sam Howell.
Sam Howell. How many sacks did he take last year?
A lot. Yeah, 65 to be exact.
Wow.
And of the league in interceptions. What a combination. Look, there's no answer to this. It's the same thing in the NBA, by the way. It's why I get so annoyed about tanking in the NBA. It's like accepted as if it works. The New York Knicks are really good right now. They had the 1 year of the quote-unquote tanking, and the pick didn't even hit the way you dreamt of.
Right.
Like, that's not why the Knicks are good right now. It's this lazy garbage. And what's going on in Philadelphia, by the way? The Kings of Tankus. What have they done?
Yeah.
Like, what the hell have they accomplished? We're going to look at that.
They named their tank.
They did.
But the NBA and NFL are different. The one thing that is inarguable, there's no way you can argue it, is in the NFL, unless you have a quarterback in 2024, it is going to be impossible to compete for Super Bowls. Am I wrong?
Makes it very difficult.
Yeah.
Okay. So, unfortunately,
good quarterback.
Right. The unfortunate reality is you have one of two ways to go. Either you have to hope you hit in the draft and scout properly, or you have to identify the right veteran that somebody gave up on too early. And right now, if that's going to be Sam Darnold this offseason, or pick your litter in the draft.
Right. Matt is calling from Whitestone. How are we doing today, Matt?
Hey, Evan. How you doing? Guys, pleasure to call. Listen every day. First time calling the program. But
I appreciate you, dude. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. I don't understand your take with the would you trade a fifth-round pick? The minute that A-Rod had that post-game conference, and he put him on blast, he was never going to play for the Jets again. So,
but something changed between that press conference and now. And the thing that changed is that Alan Lazard isn't there anymore.
Yes.
Alan Lazard got hurt. So while you're right that Aaron Rodgers didn't love Mike Williams, if you go back to the Texan game, there were a few third down plays in which he targeted Mike Williams.
Yeah,
there was a target early in the game in which he was actually on Aaron Rodgers where he passed way too far.
Right. He's
when
a
looking
good
for
player,
Mike
Williams.
Right. So that's. But that's my overall point. He's a good player. He's a useful player. I wouldn't dump him for a fifth-round pick. I disagree with the move.
No, that's fine. But my point is basically that Mike Williams was never going to play for the team again.
Okay, but here's why you're wrong. Okay,
with all due respect,
because of the injury issue. Not only the injury history, but you brought up
issue with Lazard.
Issue. I apologize. Yeah. Not only the injury issue to Alan Lazard, but you brought up Mike Williams' stats and how underwhelming they are. Can't argue with
that. Yeah, they're just not. It's not underwhelming. They don't need him to function as an offense because
they don't need him.
All the targets are going to Garrett Wilson, to Davante Adams, to Tyler Conklin.
But here's where I disagree with you. Right before the game tying touchdown to Garrett Wilson, Mike Williams caught a pass over the middle for a first down.
Right.
Does that not matter?
Of course it does.
Like, I understand it's minor. I don't have 50 of these examples, but he caught big third down receptions this season.
Yeah.
Like, they don't matter. All I'm saying is for a fifth round pick, which I would wipe my tuchus with, I don't think that's worth it. I'm not saying he's a star. I'm not saying he's going to put up gaudy numbers. You're right. But I can cite with you specific plays that have been made over the last few weeks where Mike Williams made a play. And if I'm trying to win and every game's a playoff game, why am I giving that up for a fifth-round pick? What? I'm sorry. I'm not crying about it. I'm just explaining carefully why I wouldn't have done this. I just wouldn't have. I don't think it makes you any better.
It probably doesn't, but it doesn't make you worse either.
Doesn't help. Did I get better?
I mean,
you know the answer is no.
No, because you didn't get anything.
Exactly. Yes.
You have a fifth round pick for next year.
Great. And what am I doing? Unlike Sean, who wants to make out with the fifth round pick, I don't care about the fifth round pick. Not right now.
Yeah,
I
but
don't.
You're getting hung up on that. They're unlocking.
What am I hung up on?
They're unlocking Malachi.
Oh my God. They're unlocking.
Why you?
Malachi.
Oh my God. And you have no idea if he's going to be good or not.
You can unlock.
By the way, he could be because he's a rookie, and they might be high on him. And I mean, clearly they're high on him because he was getting snaps last week.
But he
got snaps even after his knucklehead play.
You're right, but I'm not saying they can't unlock Malachi Corley. I'm not saying he stinks. I'm saying you can still unlock him with a veteran wide receiver still being on your roster.
But maybe Malachi fits better with Devontae and with Garrett Wilson.
You can do that too.
But remember, Jerry,
you don't need to give up Mike Williams for a fifth round pick. If you don't want to play him a lot, you don't have to play him a lot. I'm not asking that. You don't have to target him 10 times a game. You can do both things. Your argument against me, with all due respect to both of you, is flawed. It's a flawed argument.
Which is,
what about Malachi Corley? What about Malachi Corley? He can still play. No one's saying he can't play.
Yep.
I'm saying, why would you take a veteran off the roster to get back a fifth-round pick that does nothing for you?
No.
That's all I'm saying.
I agree with it. It doesn't make you better, but it also doesn't make you worse. That's all I'm saying.
Right, you're just stomping your feet and having a hissy fit. You know Mike Williams is not helping the team. That's what this feels like.
Am I having a hissy fit?
No.
I'm very calm.
You're having a temper tantrum.
I'm not having a temper tantrum.
You're just overly worried about trading Mike Williams for a fifth rounder.
I'm not even overly worried.
I think it's a non-story.
We're having a casual sports conversation. That's all we're doing. We're just hanging out, having a good old time. That's it. Let's go to Kendrick in Suffern. How are you, Kendrick?
Gentlemen, I got my participation sticker today,
nice.
And I would ask on election night that we stop the count and let the Nets go into the playoffs right now.
Yes.
Nice
one.
We need to be.
I do
want to talk about football for both Jets and Giants. So, one, respectfully, Evan, I disagree with you about the Mike Williams trade here. Although we did lose talent on the roster, one thing that you're forgetting is that Russell Wilson was put in to start in Pittsburgh because he opens up the run game by throwing the deep ball. And Pittsburgh has two games with Cincinnati. So, of course, you're not trading them to help the Steelers beat Cincinnati, but that's a team that's ahead of us.
Touche.
So,
all right. Touche. I like that. That's a good point there, Kendrick. I like that.
Thank you. And then Tiki, with the Giants, I was listening yesterday with your point with the two-point conversions and everything like that. I could just, you know, watching Dable for these few years, I've never been his biggest fan, but I do respect him as a coach.
Right.
My issue with him is I don't think he trusts some of the guys on his team enough as a coach. Because when you look when they played the Jets, he didn't let Tommy DeVito throw the ball.
Yeah.
He's an NFL backup, and not allowing a quarterback to throw a ball just shows lack of trust. And I think for the two-point conversion, it's lack of trust in the kicking game, because you're assuming that all these kicks are going in, and Dable has had his mishaps with the kicking unit.
Yeah,
so
but the only thing, Kendrick, is that he did say it was analytics. The decision was analytics.
Yeah.
And the only reason I know that that's true is because every team does this.
Pretty much.
It's yeah. all in their like wheelhouse in the fourth quarter when you're down by two scores, or two touchdowns, I should say. And it's all because you can convert 50% the first time, or you can convert 50% the second time, and then the likelihood of stopping it is higher or on the first time, but not. It's so complicated. It doesn't make sense. Just kick the extra point. And if you want to try to win the game at the end of the game, be anti Todd Bowles. Just go for two when you have the chance to win the game, not when you're setting up to try to win the game to get back into the game and leaving yourself now 8 points down as opposed to seven.
It just
doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah,
I get that there are nerds up there that are talking about you need to do this and you know the analytics will tell you this is going to work, but show me when it anecdotally has worked, and it just doesn't.
What does that mean?
Meaning an actual occurrence.
Oh, I think.
Right, give me the anecdote where it actually worked.
If you went through every game where teams have done it, I'm sure there's a lot of examples of it working. I don't know, dude.
I truly don't know.
It does feel like
I'm trying to think of one that I can remember where they got the first two-point conversion.
Right.
Scored a touchdown and then just had to kick the extra point to win the game.
There is one other aspect of the math that I do want to point out is that the extra point is no longer the sure thing that
true.
It was a
and
few
Kendrick
years ago.
Kendrick is right about that.
Yeah, so because of that, I have to factor that in just a little bit, especially when you don't have competent kickers like the Jets and Giants right now.
Although, give McNamee his flowers. We didn't talk about this at all. Kicked pretty good.
Yeah.
He did.
No.
He did.
He did a nice job.
You're
How
right.
How do you say his name?
McAtamne.
I could not say it. I was trying to say it in the booth last week. Not on air, but just, what's this kid's name? And I was like, McAtamne?
I know it's Jude.
Jude McAtamne.
McAtamne.
Jude McItalley.
When does Graham Gano come back, by the way?
He could be back this week.
Never this week. Yeah, just in time for Germany against the Carolina Panthers. Let's go to Ben in Syosset. Hey, Ben.
Hey, Evan. Hey, TK. What's going on?
All's good, dude.
What's up?
I want to talk. I kind of agree with you on the Mike Evans point, you know, getting a fifth-round pick for Joe Douglas, which he might even not make the pick if this all blows over.
Mike Williams.
But
gotcha. I know what you meant.
Mike Williams, yeah. I apologize. And then it does kind of unlock the Yak King, mini Debo, Malachi Corley. And then to that previous caller's point, that's brilliant. If Mike Williams beats Cincinnati twice for us, that will be insane. Thanks, guys.
That is a great point I didn't think about. I have a stomachache. You know why I have a stomachache? And it's not because my son just went to the bathroom and it took him forever. Jeez. And I know I shouldn't have a stomachache from this. So please, Tiki, you may have to slap me across the face or give me a back massage.
Yep.
I have a stomachache because of something so innocent that was tweeted.
What's
something
that?
So like, Evan, why are you freaking out? But I have to give you an actual emotional response.
Let me hear it.
The New York Yankees have checked in on Pete Alonso. And it just, I know, it's not even news. It's like, oh, right. Of course.
No, we knew it was going to happen, but.
I know, I just don't like hearing it.
Well, yeah. You can hear, we have the audio on it.
We have the audio on it? What do you mean? Were you going to hear from Brian Cashman?
Yeah, I thought we were going to do that coming up at the top
of the hour. When we come back, we will hear from the general manager of the New York Yankees, and I do not want to hear this.
Right.
If words are used such as, quote, the Yankees have checked in on Pete Alonso, I may puke. So tune into SNY. You may be able to see that live.
Nice.
So that's coming up. We'll hear from the general manager of the New York Yankees, plus some IBO thoughts on the early returns from the New York Knicks and why the official last night, Lynn Austin, just couldn't find 13 points in Texas.
Yeah.
If they found 13 points in Texas, the Knicks would have won and everything would have been fine. My joke didn't go over as well as when Kendrick did it, did
right.
it? Okay.
No, it didn't.
All right.
Nice try.
Sorry about that.
By the way, it is Mikatomne.
Really?
Mikatomne.
Jude Mikatomne?
Mikatomne. Mikatomne.
Oh, I said Mikatomne.
Yes, it's Mikatomne.
Mikatomne.
Interesting.
Mikatomne.
Now, we may have to pronounce it again if Jude Graham Gano's back.
Mikatomne.
Jude Mikatomne.
Hey, Jude.
Hey, Jude.
I'm Jed Lapinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.